like to start each message with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And these come from the book called Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me. See, I'm getting ready to get a golden retriever here, and so I'm really excited about it. The first quote is this: act nobly, even if no one will remember your names. Talking about service dogs. And the second one is this: take one hurdle at a time. Good wisdom there, isn't it? As always, it is so good to be with you. And I truly love our time together when we come together as community to celebrate the Holy Mass. Someone in the parish said recently that people come to St. Albert for all types of reasons, but they end up staying for the community. And that is so, so true. Today's gospel story is so moving that Matthew, Mark, and Luke write about it. And when you have three of the four gospel writers pen a particular experience, you know that it is filled to the brim with life-giving potential for our lives, our own lives. And so this means that today, this day, you are presented with a golden opportunity to be inspired. So, do I have any takers this morning? Would anybody like to be inspired today? Okay. Yes, absolutely. So what we'll do is we'll begin with a brief introduction, and then we will examine some key life-changing points. At this point, Jesus is on a 235-mile journey, which is going to take him to Jerusalem. And we catch up with him today as he's just leaving the city gates of Jericho, meaning that his GPS, if he had one, would indicate that he's about the distance from here to downtown Louisville before he would be arriving at Jerusalem. And Jericho was a beautiful city, and primarily because it was the winter palace home of Herod the Great. Another interesting fact about Jericho is that because of its close proximity to Jerusalem, it was known, well known actually, as a place where many of the Levitical priests who served in the temple, they lived. That's where they lived. And this particular time was very exciting, sort of like Kentucky Derby time. You know how the city sort of lights up? Well, at this time, there would have been thousands of people passing through Jericho, because the feast of the Passover was about to begin in Jerusalem. And it was very customary in bedroom communities like this that multitudes of residents, they would line the main highway in order to greet and to cheer on those who were making the Passover pilgrimage. And one of the hundreds on the roadside was a man named Bartimaeus. And little did this unassuming man know that within just a few minutes, his life could be changed forever, just like us. So what do we know about Bartimaeus? Well, the name Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. And we know that Bartimaeus, he was blind, but not from birth. It happened later on in life. And he came from a long line of Levitical priests, and because he was so good at articulating his faith, he was devoted to his faith. He was a devoted follower of God, very important. But other than that, we don't know really a whole lot about him. So there's not much to go on there, but wait a minute. When you dig a little deeper, you will strike pay dirt in a big way. So let me encourage you to get your shovels out right now and let's do some digging. The crowds at that time, we were told, that were following Jesus, they were massive. And because people were hemming him in from all sides, what they would do is they would have forerunners, those who would go ahead just a slight distance to break the crowd. You've seen that on television before. And it would create a pathway for Jesus. Now, when Bartimaeus, he hears the forerunners coming, he asks a bystander, he says, "Hey, what in the world is going on? What's all this commotion about?" And the bystander says, "Jesus is coming. It's Jesus." Now, what must have raced through this man's mind? Surely, Bartimaeus had heard stories about Jesus upon his father's return from serving in the temple, for sure. And from Bartimaeus' own personal devotion to God, we know that he had come to believe that Jesus was the son of David, meaning that was an endearing term for the long-awaited Messiah. So Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And then also, having heard of Jesus healing blind people and being very familiar with the scriptures, I mean, we've been reading them for the last several weeks about in the Old Testament where it says that when the Messiah comes, the blind will be healed, right? The lame will walk, all of that good stuff. You can't help but think that he thought in his mind, well, maybe Jesus can heal me. Maybe Jesus can heal me. So what does he do? He begins to shout, "Son of David, have pity on me." Over and over and over again, he shouts, "Son of David, have pity on me." He shouts it so much that the forerunners, they get agitated with him. Wouldn't you know it? That's just trying to drown him out. So they look at him and they say, "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. He doesn't have time for a poor, blind beggar like you." Now, by this time, all this had taken place, Jesus was in close proximity. He was in shouting distance to Bartimaeus. And so what does Bartimaeus do? He cranks it up. He cranks it up. He goes from shouting, the words change, he goes from shouting to screaming at the top of his lungs. Now, what a life lesson for all of us here. Now, I'm not suggesting you scream at the top of your lungs. There's another life lesson that goes here. But here's the lesson. Bartimaeus refused to turn over and play dead for anybody. He absolutely refused. And every obstacle that was placed in his way, it made him even more determined to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. So my dear brothers and sisters, remember this. When life tries to get the upper hand, when life tries to drag you down, when life tries to drown you out, remember the poor, blind beggar who never gave up. Never gave up. Well, Jesus heard the screams of Bartimaeus for this sense of mercy. And what does he do? He stops this whole long line of people and he says to somebody, "Go get him. Go get him and bring him to me." So what does Bartimaeus do when they come to get him? Does he respond like the Athenians did to Paul? When Paul preached on Mars Hill, the great claims of the gospel, does he respond by saying, "Well, when it's convenient for us, we'll schedule a time where we can meet at Panera's and over a couple of or a cup of caramel latte, we'll talk about this some more." That sounds so 20th century today, doesn't it? No, that's not what he said at all. Instead, we see Bartimaeus seizing the moment. He seized the moment. Wouldn't you characterize his response that way? It says that he immediately throws off his cloak. And for a man like him, that was probably the most important thing that he owned in the world. He left it behind. It says that he sprang up. He leaped up like a deer would leap up. And then he runs to Jesus. Surely, Bartimaeus thought, Jesus may never pass this way again. Here's my chance. Here's my chance. So here's another of life's lessons. When Jesus calls you to draw closer to him, go for it. Go for it. When you feel that heart tug, don't hesitate even for a second. You may not pass that way again. I really love the quote out of the book on dogs I was just telling you about, but there's one in there that seems very appropriate to what we're looking at right now. And listen to it, catch it. It says, "You may only get one chance at an open gate." Think about that. One chance at an open gate. Now, at this point, Bartimaeus is standing before Jesus, and Jesus asks him, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" See, Jesus was testing him. He wanted to see how far he was willing to exercise his faith. And Bartimaeus' response was, "Lord, Could you spare some change for this poor blind beggar so that he can have a couple of sliders at the local White Castle tonight for dinner? Will you help me just get through the rest of the day? Is that what he asked for? No. No, he doesn't ask for that. Instead, he says, Lord, I want to see the deep blue sea of Galilee again. Lord, I want to gaze upon the majesty of the temple once more. Lord, I want to watch people laughing and having fun. Lord, and most importantly, I want to see you, my Lord and my God. So here's another of life's wonderful lessons. Be bold in your faith. Be bold in your faith. When was the last time that you boldly asked Jesus for something with a deep and abiding faith? I'm talking about no holds barred faith, that kind of faith. Now, sometimes we present our requests to Jesus like we're trying to negotiate a business deal. We ask ourselves, I wonder how far Jesus is willing to go with my request. And what's the most that I can expect out of him and still be able to close the deal? Or here's another response that's often typically said. You know, it's a lot safer if I ask for nothing so that I'm not disappointed if I don't get anything, right? It's a safe place. But that is definitely not how Jesus modeled faith. Nowhere do we see him modeling faith like that. But instead, what he talked about, he said, take the mustard seed. You can't even see it. It's so small. He said, if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain. You can move a mountain. He also said in another place, if you have that much faith, you can tell this tree that's planted here to hurl itself into the ocean. Jesus says, ask. He didn't put any other disclaimer on it than that. Now, that's a scary thing, isn't it? But remember this. Surely we're big enough to handle it when Jesus says no, not yet, or wait. Why? Because we trust him. We can trust him when that answer comes. And so how does Jesus respond to the blind man's request? Well, here is where we have the added benefit of Matthew's gospel account. It says, it just takes the story way a lot much higher. And listen to what Matthew said. Jesus was moved with compassion to the depths of his being. This is God in the flesh moved. Can you imagine the look that was on Jesus' face? And it says he touches his eyes and immediately he is healed. Now, can you imagine being blind and your eyes starting to see a little bit of light? And then eventually they begin to focus and you're looking into the face of the Messiah? Wow, what a great way. So what does Bartimaeus do? He is so overcome with joy that he begins dancing and praising God. Sounds like what David did in the Old Testament. See, as is always the case, Bartimaeus becomes one of Jesus' disciples. He begins to follow him. See, he got more than just his physical sight back. That was very important. But he got his spiritual sight. It became 20/20. It's sort of like spiritual LASIK surgery. I was thinking about that. That's sort of what he got. And it became 20/20. And it became sharp. And such a sharp contrast from the story just a couple of weeks ago about the rich young ruler whom Jesus said to him, he said, hey, follow me. But the man, he left Jesus' presence, not dancing and praising God, but grieved because his heart was attached more to his money than it was to his spiritual treasure. But that wasn't the case for Bartimaeus. And here's the final lesson for today. You always, always get more than you bargained for with Jesus. He's full of surprises. Even for a poor, blind beggar like ourselves, even for us. So this morning's message hashtag is, I want to see. You want to see? I would like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection. We've looked at four of life's important messages today, and they're this. Never give up. Seize the opportunity. Be bold in your faith. And with Jesus, you get more than you ever bargained for. So let me ask you, which one are you in most need of today? And the second question is this. Hey, since he's asking you right now, what do you want me to do for you? It might be a good time to tell him just exactly what that is. God bless all of you.